VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk with critical information for you today. On Wednesday, the inauguration will be taking place in Washington, D.C. This is said to be a virtual inauguration, yet there are some 25,000 National Guard troops there for security. It's now being reported by WAVY television that Virginia will be limiting access to the Capitol, closing some interstates, closing down bridges. A joint statement from the D.C. mayor and the Maryland governor said, quote, due to the unique circumstances surrounding the 59th presidential inauguration, including last week's violent insurrection, as well as the ongoing and deadly COVID-19 pandemic, we are taking the extraordinary step of encouraging Americans not to come to Washington, D.C. Joe Biden says he will unify the nation, yet on day one and the days to follow, he plans to target and reverse many matters that were supported by tens of millions of Americans and introducing socialistic policies to our constitutional republic. We'll be unfolding some of these issues today. And by the way, there's massive censorship of conservative thought sweeping social media and mainstream media or major media. I know some of you are saying, I can't wait until we just get back to normal. But according to one of the squad members, there will be no return to normal. Today, we're going to look at where we are, where we're headed. Joining us is Alex Newman, an international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, a foreign correspondent, regular contributor, that is, for The New American. Alex, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Alex, before we talk about matters taking place this week, take us back to January 6th, the uprising at the Capitol. We know a BLM agitator just arrested here days ago. We've seen the video, his being a provocateur. Comment on what unfolded there. Did President Trump invoke this? Did he call his followers to action like the media is telling us?
I think one of the reasons that the big tech companies and the fake media have been so desperate to silence the president is because anybody can go watch the speech where it's still available. They shut him down on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and see very clearly that not only did he not incite anyone to any sort of violence or anything like that, he specifically said, let's march over to the Capitol peacefully and make our voices heard. So I think what happened on January 6th appears to me to have been planned long in advance. It appears to me to have been guided and instigated by more than a few provocateurs. Now, of course, there were some Trump people overzealous, maybe got caught up in the heat of the moment, maybe mob mentality takes over, and they entered the Capitol when they shouldn't have. But it's just another video just emerged today of this guy with the Viking horns and the goofy hat. He was actually given what looks like a tour. There was a police officer escorting him around and showing him different parts of the Capitol, including, I believe it was the Senate chambers. And this video just emerged today. We've got a video of a well-known Black Lives Matter Antifa extremist from Utah who was actually arrested by the FBI. And one of his videos emerged where he's actually talking with a quote-unquote reporter from CNN and NPR. And they're celebrating, yes, we did it, while they're inside the Capitol. It's to me, this looks very much like a setup. And, coming off of 9 months where the media was glorifying violence, glorifying insurrection, glorifying the burning down of our cities. I mean, we've all at this point, I think, seen the endless, endless repetition of CNN's Chris Cuomo, for example, saying, whoever says, show me where it says the protests have to be peaceful and polite. Mm-hmm. We've seen Nancy Pelosi and all these Democrats over and over and over again is celebrating violence and celebrating rioting and looting and making it seem like a noble thing to do. But yeah, some Trump supporters probably got carried away. But this is now being used as a pretext to silence the American people, to strip us of our rights. And it was also very convenient, Jim. This is one of the things that hasn't been reported enough, is that we were right on the verge of having a nationally televised discussion about the massive voter fraud. Both chambers of Congress were just getting started. They had just both gone to their separate chambers. We were just about to get started for the first time where the American people would have gotten a view of the massive election fraud that took place that the big media couldn't have covered up. And then, boom, oh, sorry, just kidding, we have to shut everything down because some people breached the Capitol. It was all too convenient, I think, Jim.
It sure seems that way in so many different fronts. We're going to move on, though, and because, Alex, some are wondering, is there another setup afoot here? Because, I mean, the inauguration is this week, a virtual inauguration, highways, bridges being closed down. Comment on the massive troop buildup that we see in D.C. and even at state capitals around the country.
Yeah, it's very strange, and I think a lot of people have been talking about this publicly. There's a real sense that some sort of false flag attack is being prepared. This so-called intelligence coming out of the FBI, for example, that there was going to be these massive Trump rallies at all 50 state capitals. I can tell you, here in Florida, I know a lot of the Trump team from the campaign. I know many. I've spoken at probably half of the Trump clubs in the state of Florida. I know a lot of the Republican leaders, local, state, county. I know almost all the big Tea Party organizers, and yet not one single email, not one single text message saying anything about any kind of rally at the Capitol. And so this leads me to the obvious conclusion that somebody's organizing these, but it's not Trump people, it's not Republicans, it's not Tea Party leaders. So who is organizing? That's a very good question. I think that there's a potential for some sort of incident that could be exploited to further infringe on our liberties. And I also think this is all very convenient for Biden. They knew very well nobody was going to show up to this silly inauguration. Nobody showed up to his rallies. I mean, he'd be lucky if he got 20 people at one of these pathetic so-called rallies he was having. That's why they kept him in his basement. And it would show for the whole nation that there really is no grassroots support for Biden. There are some people who hate Trump so much that they voted for Biden, but really nothing like the kind of groundswell that we are being told came out for him, right? By far the largest. What is it, 10 million more people than voted for Obama supposedly voted for Biden? Nobody believes that. Mm-hmm. Nobody serious who's actually looked at the evidence and who has eyes to see could possibly believe that. And that would have been reinforced with an inauguration with nobody there.
The other thing
I'm very suspicious of what's happening, Jim.
Yeah, and the other thing that's going on now, and it's been all over the news, was with the National Guardsmen, that now with this intelligence again from the FBI, that National Guardsmen themselves are being vetted in what they think could be an inside attack that takes place.
Yeah, it all sounds very suspicious to me. It reeks of kind of Soviet purges, right, where they had to determine the loyalty of everybody in the military, not to the U.S. Constitution, but to the new Soviet leader. And then you get the purges going, right? They say, oh, this guy posted on social media that he likes Trump. Oh, this guy posted on social media that he thinks there was election fraud. We can't have him as an officer in the military. Very, very dangerous.
Former New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton warned on CNBC with Shepard Smith, saying this: for the last 20 years, our biggest concern was international terrorism, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. Now it's here and it's us. It's the citizens of the United States, some of whom are rebelling against everything we thought we believed in for the last 300 to 400 years. Saying, you know, that now we used to be concerned about ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Now it's U.S. citizens we're concerned about.
Yeah, and I've been saying this my entire career as a journalist. Since I've been doing this kind of work, I have been warning people that the so-called war on terror was eventually going to turn inward and was eventually going to target Americans in America. This became very, very clear during the Obama administration. We had documents released from the Department of Homeland Security over and over and over again, trying to make the case, trying to make law enforcement believe that the real terror threat was not Al-Qaeda or ISIS, but it was actually some of the words they used, returning veterans, right? Our men and women who went overseas to fight for this country and to fight for what they thought was our freedoms. They were the ones being painted as the domestic terrorists and extremists. Ron Paul supporters, constitutionalists, people who don't want a new world order, people who think taxes are too high, people who believe in states' rights under the U.S. Constitution as defined in the 10th Amendment. So they have for many, many years now been showing signs that they were going to turn this massive so-called terror war apparatus domestically. And all they need is the right pretext, whether that be a false flag attack or whether, you know, some non-Christian really gets driven over the edge. They see their country being destroyed. They see election fraud all over. Maybe they lose it. Maybe they go do something dumb. Provides the perfect pretext for them to turn this entire massive weaponized bureaucracy on the American people. It's a very, very dangerous time, Jim.
Alex Newman, our guest here today, thenewamerican.com. Alex, let's talk about this massive censorship, not just by major media, but social media. Project Veritas just recently released this exposure of Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey continuing to remove accounts from social media platform and saying we're just seeing the beginning of this right now. We've got programming on CNN pushing to close down Newsmax and OANN TV by a former Facebook executive, Alex Stamos, who indicates that these forms of media need to be deplatformed, saying we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. We've got AOC stating that Congress is looking into initiatives to promote media literacy and help rein in the media in an effort to fight supposed disinformation. But this is amazing, and it's happening so quick, the deplatforming in social media and major media that's saying we're just not going to cover this any longer.
Yes, it is probably the most sophisticated attempt at national and really global censorship that I have ever seen in my life. I think this is unprecedented. And we need to think seriously about the implications of this. These big technology companies that were literally built up from the start with American taxpayer money, that includes Google, that includes Facebook, right? Google was actually started with help from DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Facebook was funded early on by people affiliated with InQtel, the intelligence community's investment arm. They are now basically serving as tentacles of the deep state in an effort to silence tens of millions of Americans. And they have now taken the position that they can even silence the democratically elected president of the United States. We're in an unprecedented situation. And I think what happens over the next few weeks and over the next few months is going to have repercussions for decades into the future. They really do want to silence everybody who rejects this diabolical agenda that includes erasing the family, confusing the genders, overthrowing our constitutional system of government and limitations on federal government power. That's how high the stakes are. And what we see is that there are totalitarians working in Silicon Valley at the highest levels who are in cahoots, who are colluding, if you want to use one of their terms, with totalitarians in high positions in government, totalitarians in high positions in international organizations like the United Nations and in foreign governments, including, by the way, communist China, colluding against the American people, against our freedom, and against our constitutional republic. And if what they're going to try to do is completely silence us, get people fired from their jobs. And, of course, all of this, we've seen this before, this is all a precursor to even more nefarious objectives.
Yeah, and indeed. And now we've got the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, claiming that saying an election was stolen is not protected speech, and you don't have that right. Folks, there is no end to this. Who's the determination, the determiner, what is right and what is wrong as it comes to political speech, Alex? I mean, if you disagree with me, well, sorry, you don't have a right to say what you're saying.
Yeah, and that is the position that these people are taking. And, you know, they've been pretty open about the fact that this is the direction they were going in for many, many years. In fact, we at the New American Magazine have been chronicling this for decades. They're very open about their totalitarian ambitions. They're only just now coming out of the closet when they think they can get closer to getting away with it.
We're going to take a quick break here. Alex Newman is our guest today. Where we are, where we're headed, we're back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists sometimes use bogus arguments for creation?
Unfortunately, they do, Chris. Some favorite arguments that sound so good really aren't well established. Thankfully, there is plenty of good evidence that creationists can use. One example of an outdated argument is the possible human footprints found in the same strata as dinosaur footprints in Texas. Now, I was one of the original developers of this theory and published the authoritative book on it. But the more research we did, the more we saw problems. So I removed my book from the market and we no longer use that claim. I feel it's too ambiguous to use. Now, others still do use that argument, and while I don't oppose them, I do encourage them to use the better evidence. True evidence for creation is strong and convincing, especially as we use that back to Genesis perspective.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Alex Newman. You can read many of his columns at thenewamerican.com. And Alex, also you have a site, libertysentinel.org, I understand.
That's right. Yeah, it's started off as a college newspaper when I was in college, and now I just kind of use it as a personal blog to publish my thoughts and different Christian ideas that come from other writers that I know that give me permission to post their stuff. So.
LibertySentinel.org. China is just quite overjoyed to be working with Joe Biden. He talks about a new window of hope. Tell us about your concern about China and the Biden administration.
Well, you know, a lot of conservatives have been saying throughout this election season that China owns Biden. And it's kind of a catchy slogan, and it has a little bit of a humorous ring to it. But this is a deadly serious matter. It's no laughing matter. The ties between the mass-murdering communist Chinese dictatorship and Biden and Harris and many other top politicians in Washington, by the way, are very troubling. They're very extensive. To give you some examples, we now know from Hunter Biden's laptop and from whistleblowers and other sources, people like Sonia Boblinsky, that the Communist Chinese Party really has been bribing, I think is the only word you can use, the Biden family through these front companies that masquerade as businesses that Hunter Biden was involved in. We've got audio recordings of him now talking about how he's in business with the Communist Chinese spy chief. Now videos have surfaced that were on his laptop and other places of him having sexual relations with underage Chinese girls. Now, why would the Communist Chinese Party provide underage Chinese girls to the son of the vice president? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. They want leverage. And so, you know, again, this is a problem in all of Washington, and I think it needs to be addressed. So we just found out that Eric Swalwell, the Democrat congressman who actually ran the impeachment in Congress, he was literally in bed with a communist Chinese spy, Feng Fang. We know that Kamala Harris's husband does enormous amounts of business with communist China through the law firm DLA Piper. This is an incredibly serious situation, and I think we need to recognize that communist China and the communist Chinese government, this isn't like the British government, this isn't like the French government, or even the Mexican or the Canadian government. This is a brutal mass-murdering regime that is very closely allied with what I call the deep state, and they have publicly expressed their ambition to dominate the world. In fact, some of their generals have said they would nuke hundreds of American cities if we were to merely obey our treaty obligations with Taiwan. This is not the kind of government that ought to be buying politicians and journalists in the United States without very serious consequences, and yet it has gone on, it has proliferated, it's been encouraged, it's a bipartisan problem, and Biden is really, I think, the epitome of that, and that's why you have a huge number of retired generals and admirals and military people and intelligence people saying that, you know, look, and DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe, just recently, just in the last few days, released even more explosive information about communist Chinese efforts to interfere with and manipulate the election results. There's a lot of people now, including former generals, including General McInerney, who we interviewed for The New American, saying, look, this looks to be like World War III. It seems like the Communist Chinese Party, with help from people within the United States, has tried to steal an election and is now about to have their agent installed in the White House. Very, very serious time we're in right now.
It is serious, and so I'm so grateful that former Vice President Biden is going to have a message of unity. That's what we're told over and over again. He's going to have a message of unity in this inauguration speech. But, Alex, as you know, I mean, he is promising to act very quickly. In my, you know, estimation, it's a very in-your-face act to tens of millions of Americans on so many issues by executive order on day number one and the immediate days to follow. To lay out for us, what is he planning to do?
Yeah, I think for Christians, the alarm bell should be going off. In fact, even during the campaign, Biden was promising that his top legislative priority was going to be passing the Equality Act. Well, we've talked about the Equality Act on your show before, Jim.
Yes,
the Equality
yes.
Act would basically unleash the power of the federal government against Christian churches. It would literally unleash federal persecution of the church in the United States, at least any churches that refuse to bow down to the golden idol of LGBTism. Right? If your church won't do homosexual marriages, if your church wants to, quote-unquote, discriminate against transsexuals, you know, men wearing dresses, teaching your kindergarten students at your Christian school, you will become a target under this Equality Act. Now, during Trump, with the Republican Senate, it didn't move anywhere, but it did pass in the House. Well, Biden said that is his top legislative agenda. Let that sink in, folks. The new president's top agenda is to persecute Christians who won't bow down before the golden idol of LGBTism. Then you add to that more recently. He said his next top legislative priority is the passage of a new federal law on domestic terrorism. Well, you hear them calling Trump supporters, calling conservatives, calling Christians domestic terrorists.
Yep.
Who do you think that is going to be aimed at? Well, of course, it's going to be aimed at you.
I'd like to look also at this reconciliation bill that's going to be coming under a Biden administration. And I just heard, I was listening earlier this morning to this clip from Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders, and he is highly energized. Folks, it's like he's licking his chops as to what they're going to put into this legislation. And I'm going to air a clip in this. He was on the air with Stephen Colbert, and I'd like you to hear what he had to say, and then we're going to have Alex comment on Bernie Sanders. Here it is.
My first priority is to work on a comprehensive reconciliation bill without getting into all the rules of the Senate. This is a means by which we can pass very significant legislation with a majority, with 51 votes and not with 60. And I'm going to make that reconciliation bill as bold and aggressive as I possibly can. We face more crises today than any time in the modern history of this country. It's not just the terrible pandemic, which has claimed almost 400,000 lives. It is massive unemployment, millions of people unable to feed their kids, people who are being evicted, people who can't afford to go to the doctor because they have no health care. So what we have got to do is respond to the pain that the American people are feeling, which is enormous right now. People are losing faith in government. We have to restore that faith by saying, you know what? We hear your pain. And we're going to respond in a bold manner. And in addition to that, probably in a second reconciliation bill, we have to deal with some of the systemic, long-term, ongoing problems facing this country. People can't live on $10 an hour. We got to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. Insane that we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all or have paid family and medical leave. You know what? Got to deal with climate change with countries around the world, or we're not going to leave much of a planet to our kids and our grandchildren. In other words, at this particular moment in history, Congress is going to have to rise up and be extremely bold in addressing the major crises facing working families in the middle class. And I intend to be very active in that process.
Alex, this is just unbelievable. And he's going to use this process of what he calls reconciliation to do this by 51 votes, because that's certainly what they'll have with Kamala Harris as the tie-breaking vote. But this is a full implemented socialist agenda that Bernie Sanders is looking at passing through Congress.
Yes, it is. And the incredible irony, we see this so often with totalitarians, is that they're using the crises that they themselves created as a pretext to usurp even more power over our lives. Think about the things that Bernie Sanders was talking about there. People are losing their jobs. People are being evicted. Yes, that's absolutely true. Why are people losing their jobs and why are people being evicted? Because Democrat governors and Democrat mayors forcibly destroyed the middle class. They forcibly shut down hundreds of thousands of small businesses all across this country. They forced employers to lay off something like 50 million workers during the pandemic, maybe more at this point. So yeah, people are struggling, but people are struggling because of the government. And so now we're going to use these struggles that the government itself created as a pretext to grow government power even further. And then we've got, of course, climate change. I've been going to these UN climate conferences for well over a decade now as a foreign correspondent and now senior editor for the New American Magazine. And I can tell you, there is no climate crisis. In fact, the entire premise is ludicrous. I had the opportunity to interview Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer of Princeton University, served 2 years on the National Security Council, and he actually put it very blunt. He said that the Earth is starving for more CO2. The Earth is just desperate. The plant life on this planet is desperate for more carbon dioxide. And yet, and keep in mind, people exhale about 2 pounds of carbon dioxide every day. And yet we have people like Bernie Sanders and his cronies and his allies around the world telling us that this gas we exhale, this gas of life that plants are desperately in need of more of, is now somehow a pollution that needs to be taxed and regulated along with every activity that produces it, which is literally every human activity, including breathing, including sleeping, including eating. This is a totalitarian dream, and it looks like they're going to use it as a pretext to seize control over every little aspect of our lives and also to massively expand government, to liberate trillions of dollars from the poor and the middle class in America to redistribute to their cronies and third world dictatorships. This is a recipe for global disaster, and they know it.
They do know it. And talking about rejoining the Paris Agreement, folks, we are going to see things come through this reconciliation bill that have no business in the world being in such a bill, and public policy related issues that would never stand alone by a filibuster proof, vote anyways, I would hope. But Alex, just item after item, and he is studying this thoroughly because this is what he sees, his window of opportunity to get these things passed through with 51 votes, and they will spare nothing to do just that.
That's exactly right. And, they've already explained, in fact, they were explaining this in the run-up to the election. I think they knew that with all the vote fraud that was being planned, there was no need to worry about what voters might think about this. But they already explained to us, they plan to fundamentally transform the United States. They plan to make it so that the Republicans will never be able to win another election again, even if we were by some miracle to be able to get legitimate voting in place again, which at this point seems like a pipe dream. We're talking about adding a whole bunch of new Democrat states. They want to turn Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico into states. There'll be 4 more Democrats in the Senate. They want to split California up into multiple states, keep all the conservatives jammed into one, and then add 4 more Democrat states. They want to pack the Supreme Court with anti-American Marxists who want to overthrow our Constitution. If they get their way, America, as we have known it, is gone. It's done for. That's how high the stakes are, and we need to be taking this very seriously. It's a crisis of immense proportions.
New York City, I mean, the what's going on there is amazing, too, because we have Andrew Yang, who just kicked off his bid for mayor there of New York City to take on de Blasio. And, Alex, he is calling for universal basic income. It's like, who can out-socialize the other individual?
Yep, and, now they're at the point where this is just basically a bribery contest. Who can offer more loot to voters in exchange for votes? We'll give you free health care. We'll give you free college. Hey, we'll give you free houses. We'll give you whatever you want. Pretty soon we'll give you free Corvettes. I mean, we'll be in Cuba territory very soon, right, where there's no more money left to steal, and therefore there's no more money to give to anybody.
Venezuela, here we come.
That's right.
Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to be taking a quick break, folks, and we're going to cover just a few more issues. I'm going to each one of these could be a program in itself, but we're going to touch on an aspect of education and some proposed new standards coming out of the Minnesota Department of Education. We're going to talk about some immigration, and then we're also going to bring in this great reset that Alex has been with us before warning about this, what is planned by the World Economic Forum and what is planned here for just a great global reset to take place. So much more to come. Stay with us here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Again, the website for our guest today, you can check out writings at thenewamerican.com. Also his personal website, libertysentinel.org, as he writes and comments on a number of critical events taking place. That's libertysentinel.org. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman with us here today. Alex, let's just cover a couple of issues pertaining to education, and one of which we see, at least we've been told, there's going to be an executive order coming that's going to mandate that schools across this nation honor the gender identity, however one wishes to express their gender, that if it's a boy who desires to be a girl or envisions himself as a girl, that he will have access to the girls' restrooms, lockers, and shower rooms. That, I mean, he plans to do this by executive order nationwide.
Yes, and, you know, it just shows you how far our nation has gone from biblical principles that something like this could even be considered. It almost feels biblical in terms of judgment, right? If you read Romans 1, and it talks about God giving people over to a reprobate mind when they reject him and when they reject his truth and when they reject things that he has made plain to everyone. And it really does feel like our nation is now experiencing extreme judgment. And this transgender issue, I think, is right at the forefront of it. I mean, they are now literally teaching children that they can become a new gender, any one of infinite genders. All they have to do is sign up to take hormones and to mutilate their private areas. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Even 10 years ago, if you had said these types of things were coming, you would have been looked at and laughed at as an absolute kook. And yet here we are with the incoming president of the United States planning to impose this on us by executive decree.
And folks, keep in mind, these are the true science deniers. I mean, you cannot change XX into XY and vice versa. You're one or the other, and this is true science denial. Another matter of education, Alex, is Minnesota Department of Education. They've got some new standards they're proposing that would banish lessons about World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, Civil War, the American Revolution, communism, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Instead, we need to have lessons on systemic racism.
Yes, and this is typical. In fact, this has already become the norm across the United States, and I know a lot of parents struggle to believe that because they went to public school 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, and they can't imagine that we've gotten to this point. Just last year, somebody sent me the final exam for history for the state of Mississippi for their state standards. The entire test, not one mention of a single one of our founding fathers. Can you imagine graduating after 12 years of so-called education, not having a single founding father on the final exam for history that every public school student in the state must take? Instead, they're learning about so-called systematic racism. They're learning about cisgender privilege. They're learning that the gas they exhale is a toxic pollution. It's public education today has basically become the definition of anti-education. It resembles in no way a legitimate education, and I've been trying to sound the alarm about this for many, many years. On the bright side, you know, when I started sounding the alarm years ago and urging parents to get their children out of the public schools immediately, that was seen as kind of a fringe issue. And yet just in the last year, we've had Rush Limbaugh, biggest talk show host in America, 18 million listeners every day, said, parents, you've got to get your children out of public schools. And the President of the United States explained very clearly in his State of the Union speech in 2020 that we've got to protect our children, as he said, from these failing government schools. In his Independence Day speech, he said the reason for the violent mayhem in our streets is because of the indoctrination taking place in the public school system. And so Franklin Graham, he was on Todd Stein's show, and he was asked about this new policy in New Jersey. This was, I think, last year, where they're basically forcing LGBT indoctrination onto every child in every public school. He said, parents, you've got to take your kids out of the public schools. So this has gone from being a fringe issue to being a very mainstream issue, and we're seeing a catastrophic decline in enrollment in public schools, catastrophic from their perspective. I think it's wonderful news. And so the next front in this battle is they're going to be coming for homeschoolers. They're going to be coming for private schools. They're already trying to shut down the Jewish schools in New York because they won't teach enough government propaganda. And as we know, first they came for the Jews, then they'll be after all the rest of us. So.
Alex, another issue, of course, a crisis at the border. I mean, there was a caravan of thousands of Honduran migrants marching right toward our border. And I saw the Western Journal, they had a Biden transition team official saying, help is on the way. I mean, our borders are in immigration issues, illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. I mean, we're going to have some major issues going on here in our nation.
Yeah, and that's part of the fundamental transformation, right? Even if we assume that someday we could get our voting system back in order so that we would have a legitimate voting system where only legal votes are counted, what they're planning on doing, and they've already told this, so we don't have to speculate, they already said that they were planning to do this, is to provide amnesty for all illegal immigrants in the United States. And they put the estimates out there at 10 or 11 million. Even if that were true, if 80 to 90% of them voted Democrat, which is what the polls show they will, America will become a one-party state. A Republican president would never be elected again. When you realize that there's actually closer to 30 to 40 million illegal immigrants and that the waves of caravans are only just starting, you see that America will be fundamentally changed in a way that, again, I don't think would have even been conceivable a few years ago.
Yeah, and I find it also interesting that the Census Bureau is announcing that they're not finalizing, they're not going to release information regarding the census until after President Trump leaves office. Now, the statutory deadline is January 16th. Sorry, can't make it. It's going to be later. We don't have the information ready here yet. And we know that he has had great opposition to those who are illegals in our country from being counted as part of the census for congressional representation.
That's right. They're essentially giving congressional representation to illegal immigrants, who, of course, are not entitled to congressional representation. They're not even entitled legally to be in this country. And so Trump tried some very common sense solutions to this crisis and was rebuked at every turn by lawless courts and lawless bureaucracies and bureaucrats. And, you know, I think we're just now starting to see the whirlwind that is approaching.
Speaking of that, what is approaching, and one of the matters that is going on is something that you've warned about for years, Alex, and you've done a program with us on it here as well, but let's bring in this Great Reset, because this is something that is being pushed for globally here, that we need to have this great worldwide reset that takes place.
Yes, and this is such an enormous subject. I mean, we could probably talk about it for a week worth of programs and still only scratch the surface, but I encourage people to read. We just put out a new cover story in The New American. I wrote two out of the three components of it. And when they talk about a great reset, they're talking about transforming every element of our lives, from the way government works to the way corporations work to the way the economy works to family. And actually, they asked Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, what was the most important thing that was going to be transformed. And he pointed his head and said, your mindset. So even your mind is in the crosshairs of these people. And to take it up a whole nother level of creepiness, and I think now we're really starting to see the biblical ramifications of this, Klaus Schwab has been very open about his views on where humanity should be heading in the coming decades. And one of the things he said was a critical part of the Great Reset is what he calls the Fourth Industrial Revolution. He actually wrote a book about this a few years ago. And I encourage people to read it. Maybe don't buy a copy necessarily. Go get it at your local library. But read it. He is talking about openly, in plain English, I've even got him speaking in speeches saying these things, he's talking about inserting microchips and implants into your skull to fuse with your brain that he says will be able to not just monitor your thoughts and your dreams and your ideas, but will actually be able to manipulate them, will be able to control them. So this is, I realize it sounds like terrible science fiction. Probably people who just tuned into this program are thinking, what in the world did I just tune into? Again, I encourage you to read the writings and listen to the statements of these people themselves. This is what they are saying is coming. Elon Musk, now the richest man in the world, just said a few months ago he was looking for volunteers, for human volunteers, to have a microchip inserted in their skull that would be fused with their brain. This is the direction they're heading, folks. They call it transhumanism, and I think it is a very real assault on our humanity. If humans are made in God's image, whatever this freakish hybrid of technology and humanity is going to come out of this, I don't know whether that would still qualify. So,
the Biden administration, as he has laid out his picks for his cabinet and the various positions here for the role on the UN and defense and health and human service, etc. Would you concur, Alex, that these are all of one mind, that this great reset is the pathway that the Biden administration is going to be following?
Yeah, there's no question about it. In fact, Biden made that very clear on his campaign trail. One of his campaign slogans was this mantra of build back better. Mm-hmm. And I think other than our report in the New American, I didn't see anything about this anywhere else. But build back better is not actually his slogan. He ripped that off from the United Nations, and it is now one of the crucial slogans that is involved with this great reset. So their argument is, look, we burned down your economy with the COVID restrictions. We burned down your cities with the race riots. That we, of course, stirred up with dishonesty and propaganda. And now your cities are destroyed, your economy is destroyed, your lives are destroyed, you're all unemployed, your businesses are broke. But don't worry, we're going to build back better. We're going to have a great reset. We're going to transform everything, and we're going to build back on an entirely new foundation. This is the rhetoric that all of these incoming Biden people have been using more and more openly. And that's the direction that they want to take us. So,
and even with Build Back Better, we're even hearing that phrase as it relates to gun control.
That's right. That's right. And you know, all of the fundamental liberties that Americans have taken for granted, I think, for hundreds of years, even liberties that you wouldn't have even imagined they could have ever come for, right? I mean, people have had gun control on their radar for a long time. Now they're talking about taking away your right to earn a living, right? If your mayor or your governor decrees that you're not essential, boom, you're done. Your business is shut. And if you try to violate that decree, they'll take you down. They'll sue you for millions of dollars. They'll put you in prison. Now, this is the world that we're heading in towards if these people get their way. They want even the most fundamental rights, your right to make a living, your right to speak freely, your religious liberty, your right to keep and bear arms, your right to protect your family. Every last bit of it is in the crosshairs, and they're not even hiding it anymore. You know, when we said this kind of stuff 10 years ago, people said, oh, you know, don't be so radical. They wouldn't really do that. And here we are. They're saying it in the open.
And here we have Congresswoman Presley, you know, sending out this tweet saying there's no return to normal. The status quo was unjust in the first place. So, folks, whatever you knew as normal before, don't ever plan on going back there again, because it's just not going to be that way. And we can see through the radical pieces of legislation that are already afoot here that that is going to be the case. Our phone number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Alex Newman is our guest today. Alex, I was just amazed to see the story come out about the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, last Thursday, now calling for the restaurants, bars, you need to reopen as soon as possible, because it's going to prevent COVID from spreading through private parties, because business owners will, you know, enforce social distancing, whereby they closed all these businesses, destroyed the economy, and say, well, now, under Biden, we need to reopen these again, because that'll help stop COVID from spreading.
Unbelievable, but here we are, and more than a few conservatives said this was going to happen.
Yes, indeed. And now the vaccination push that is going on, we're seeing that take place. And friends, the issues pertaining to COVID as well, it is just, more than what we can unfold right now. We're going to take your phone calls. Let's go to Lat, Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Lat.
Yeah, hi. I want to just bring up, I don't know what we can do, but as a born-again Christian, you know, we know this election was stolen, and I've talked to many, many born-again Christians, and they will never vote again in this country. So how do we change this around? They basically gave up, and they said that this is God's doing, and God's going to wipe the United States off the face of the earth, and let's get ready for the rapture and win souls. So I know, I believe there's going to be millions and millions of Christians that never vote again. So what can we do about this?
Okay.
I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Okay, and up against the break, so we'll cover that right after we get back from the break. Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk, back in a minute on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, it looks like we're just hours from a new administration, the Biden administration. What can we expect? Well, we don't have to guess. Secular Democrats have already put out a report, 25 pages. Not very long. But what do they cite as their main target in a Biden administration? Conservative people of faith. They openly talk about using a Biden administration to decide who is a legitimate nonprofit church and who is not. And how will they decide that? Based on whether or not you teach a Judeo-Christian worldview in the area of public policy. In fact, the report says they do not want Joe Biden or any of his administration representatives using the term "In God We Trust" or "Judeo-Christian." My friends, we're in perilous times, as the Bible forewarned.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is our guest here today. Alex, Lat called in and he says, okay, so we've got all this information. What can we do? I talked to a number of people. I'm never going to vote again. I'm just checking out of this and, you know, going to twiddle my thumbs and wait for the Lord's return. What to do?
Yeah, well, thank you for the call. And I certainly understand the frustration. I mean, it's clear to tens of millions of Americans that the last election was stolen by massive, massive margins. Same thing with the Senate elections in Georgia. And so I understand the frustration. I understand the desire to just kind of check out and not participate in the political system anymore. However, I think as Christians living in a self-governing constitutional republic where ostensibly we the people are in charge, that imposes a certain obligation on us as Christians. You know, God tells us what government is for, what it should be doing. He tells us that the purpose of government, the reason it wields the sword, is to punish evil. And if we, the people, are in charge of that sword, we need to do our best to make sure that government is actually punishing evil. And you can not speculate about what evil is. God has already defined that for us, murder and thievery and so on and so forth. And so that is the purpose of government. And as citizens of a self-governing republic, I think we have an obligation to be involved to the extent that we can. I mean, we don't want our lives to be consumed by politics or government, but it is one area of life where Christians, especially in this nation, are called to be active. But I think on a spiritual level, we need to be preparing as well. You know, God calls us to be in prayer continually, and you would expect that at a time like this, that should be an even more urgent call. We need to be seeking His will. We need to be in His Word. I think there's a very real sense here that America is now under judgment. In fact, that started, I think, becoming more and more apparent to a lot of people, especially people who follow these things closely, during the Obama administration. And then it seemed like we had a short reprieve under Donald Trump, but we are now back into the slide. And if you look back through church history, what you see is that for thousands of years, most Christians have lived under oppressive regimes where they were persecuted. And so we need to look at how the church operated during those times. The book of Acts is a very, very good place to start searching for answers there, because I think that is the reality that we're probably heading toward. Now, again, that doesn't excuse us in terms of just checking out and saying, well, I don't want to be involved anymore. I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes back. I think we do need to be involved now more than ever. But you know, part of it, if America is ever going to be restored, and I don't know that it will be, but if it ever is going to be restored, that is going to have to start with personal changes. That's going to have to start with individuals coming to repentance and coming to know the Lord and getting a new heart. And without that, you know, America was built by Christians, by people who loved the Lord and who had a biblical worldview. We have departed radically from that reality, and so we're reaping what we have sown and what our forefathers have sown over a period of many generations.
Jose is calling from Wisconsin. Jose, you're on the air.
Hi, I just got a quick comment and a question. I just believe we should pray for our National Guard because it's just looking like a false flag that could possibly be happening with them out there. They're just there like sitting ducks. But my question is, what do you think, if Trump does not do something by January 20th, like doing the Insurrection Act, do you believe that Joe Biden will use it on anyone that he deems a threat? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think it's an entirely reasonable question. It was amazing to me how the script got flipped so quickly, right? Up until January 6th, it was becoming apparent to more and more Americans that we were in the midst of an insurrection that included voting fraud, that included riots and destruction of our cities, that was highly orchestrated, that had very obvious connections to malign international actors, actual enemies of the United States. And I think that could very reasonably be called an insurrection. And then on January 6th, through what was obviously carefully orchestrated and carefully manipulated, they flipped the script and said it was actually Trump and Trump's supporters who were engaged in insurrection. there was a very calculated reason why they did that. These people are not dumb. They don't act in a vacuum. When they do something like that, they do it for a reason. And I think there's a very real chance that these types of measures could be used in the future against Christians, against conservatives, against Trump supporters, especially if we were to see some sort of false flag or real attack.
Let's go to West Dallas. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, brothers. I got a question about this filibuster thing. You were talking about passing all these bright ideas the Democrats have with 51 votes. But in order to get rid of the filibuster, wouldn't they have to get rid of it on a vote of 60 votes itself?
That's a good question, and they're actually talking about doing this under a different set of rules called reconciliation. Your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, they actually showed us how this was done when they did it to nominate and to confirm a bunch of judges that wouldn't have gotten confirmation under the normal procedures. And so then Republicans picked up off of what the Democrats had done. Harry Reid called it the nuclear option. And so it's not proper to do it, but that doesn't mean they won't do it. It's also not proper to steal elections. It's not proper to support the killing of babies with tax money, and yet they do it. So we shouldn't expect proper decorum from people who have already shown us their true colors.
Yeah, usually they just change Senate rules, and Senate rules changes are usually with a majority vote, I believe, Brad.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for the call. Scott in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hello. First of all, I want to thank you guys for putting out absolute truth as opposed to the garbage that's coming everywhere else. We agree that Biden is part of a demonic globalist cult, correct? I think when he is sworn in, they're going to elevate him to the status of martyr. And he's going to do it willingly. And then right after that, they're going to swear in Kamala Harris. And that's why they've got all these troops in our capitals and around the country. That's what I think is going to happen on Wednesday. Okay. And we got to pray on our knees for this country.
Thank you, Scott, for your comment. And Gloria in Oregon, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, with all the thousands of people trying to come across the border once he's inaugurated, are they going to vaccinate these people before they come in, or do you know?
That's another whole issue here regarding that matter. I don't know that we know, Alex.
No, I don't know that there's been any policy announced. I know that my wife is an immigrant, and when she came here, the government ordered her to take all sorts of vaccinations. I mean, it's just a massive barrage. But I don't believe that that applies to illegal immigrants. In fact, we often joke that it would have been so much simpler to just swim across the Rio Grande. But I don't suspect they will. And, you know, right now they're kind of prioritizing certain groups of people over others. I just interviewed an incredible doctor about the vaccine, and she warned about not taking it, Dr. Lee Merritt, and I hear the music. So I guess we're done for today.
And we'll have to have you back. Alex Newman with us here at thenewamerican.com, libertysentinel.org. Alex, thank you so much for your diligence on so many issues important to all of us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.